Hey, nurses! This National Nurses Week 2025, it's time to celebrate you, the backbone of healthcare, with a vacation you truly deserve. Join Nurse.com for a luxurious group cruise aboard Virgin Voyages, sailing May 9th through May 14th. It's a celebration like never before, designed exclusively for nurses. Picture this. Tranquil ocean views, world-class amenities, and the chance to connect with your nursing community while leaving the stress of long shifts far behind. Plus, when you join us, you'll receive $200 in onboard credit per cabin to enjoy spa treatments, premium excursions, merchandise, and more. You spend every day caring for others. Now it's your turn. Let's trade scrubs for sandals and sail into National Nurses Week with joy, connection, and well-deserved relaxation. Register now to join the group trip at nurse.com/cruise. That's nurse.com/cruise. We can't wait to celebrate you. Hey, nurses. Welcome to the Nurse Dot Podcast, giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. Today on Nurse Dot Podcast.
People are feeling a really deep strain in their relationship with their leaders, with their patients, with their peers, and even their own sense of self because they chose this path to care for their patients and the system is making it harder and harder for them to do that.
I do think the narrative that we say about ourselves and that other people repeat and what the public says about us matters. What I know about nurses is the fuel for their work is their patients.
Joining us today are two incredible guests. First, we have Dr. Cinder Rushton, a nurse leader of unparalleled distinction based out of Johns Hopkins University. Dr. Rushton is a visionary behind the Resilient Nurses Initiative, an impactful program dedicated to fostering resilience, moral courage, and well-being among nurses. And joining her is Lucas Welch, the founder of Slow Talk, a public benefit corporation committed to empowering nurses by amplifying their voices and creating platforms for meaningful dialogue. Lucas is a passionate advocate for the nursing community and is helping to bring much needed attention to the importance of listening, storytelling, and the power of thoughtful conversation. I'm your host, Kara Lunsford, registered nurse and VP of Community at nurse.com. All right. Cinda, Lucas.
Kara.
Yes. We are here. We made it. I've had Cinda. You've been on the podcast before. I'm just so excited to have you back. And Lucas, this is your first time on the Nurse Dot Podcast. Welcome.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Great to be back.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you. Last time we had you on talking about like the Theater of War productions, and that was such a great episode. And this time we're talking because the three of us had talked on a call previously, and you were telling me about this new initiative and this project that you're working on, and we were thinking this has got to get out to the Nurse Dot audience, the Nurse Dot podcast audience, because this is cool. This is some cool stuff. Lucas, do you want to introduce yourself really quickly, and then I'll have Cinda introduce herself?
Yeah, sure. So I am the CEO and co-founder of Slow Talk. Slow Talk is a public benefit corporation, so a mission-driven for-profit company that's dedicated to supporting nurses and amplifying their voices. And we have been privileged to have the opportunity to work with Cinda on a collaboration focused on understanding better the state of the nursing profession. And we have a platform that essentially enables for people to have intimate facilitated conversations in small groups on pretty much any topic, and then analyzes those conversations anonymously to surface the key themes and perspectives. So I'm happy to dig in to talk more about what we've been able to learn and through our collaboration with Cinda as part of the Resilient Nurse Initiative in Maryland and where that's taken us.
Awesome. Well, that's a great segue. Cinda, you want to talk a little bit about the Resilient Nurse Initiative and just introduce yourself?
Well, it's always great to be with you and, of course, with Lucas. I'm a nurse. I've been at Hopkins 33 years, if you can believe that. I'm a professor of nursing and bioethics, and I have had the privilege of leading a statewide initiative over the last 4 years that actually was conceived before COVID. And then, of course, the reality of COVID and how much the weight of what happened during that period of time really rested on nurses. And many of the historical challenges just became amplified. And so this whole initiative was about how do we create support, community? How do we begin to address some of the systemic contributions to the depletion and the burnout and really the disengagement and hopelessness that many nurses were feeling? And so we got funding to launch this program. And part of our goal in the very beginning, we did a whole process actually during COVID to try to understand what nurses' perspectives were about what was happening. And we did a report then, and we had planned to do a second at the end of our 4 years. And during that time, I met Lucas and Slow Talk, and we decided that this might really be an opportunity to engage nurses who, many of whom felt like nobody was listening, and to give them a place for their voice to be heard around what does it mean to be a nurse now and what some of the gaps are and how might we use this opportunity to elevate their voice and create a vision for the future we want to create.
I'm so grateful for the work that both of you are doing. I love, Lucas, that you're bringing a piece of technology to the table that's really allowing these voices to be heard. And also, I love that it analyzes the conversation. What I think is really fascinating about what I had seen when you first demoed this for me was, well, A, I'll just say I was so taken aback that I cried. I ugly cried. It was an ugly cry. And I was like, I think I actually was shocked. Because sometimes we don't realize how raw we are and how much someone will say something. And what I realized when I was listening to those voices, those nurses speaking, it was one nurse in particular who, I think it was something about the tone of her voice, something about there was a desperation in her voice that I heard that was like, you know, we're doing the best we can. There was like something about how she said this, almost pleading with people, the public, administrators, managers, colleagues. That was the feeling that I had when I was listening to her. And what I thought was so unique was that this service, Slow Talk, so this platform, was able to take all of this information and put it in a format that I felt like was digestible to anybody, like anybody who read it, anyone who, that they could understand it. Does that make sense? Like they could step away from maybe the emotion of it, Not that the emotion's not important. I think the emotion is very important, but somehow it was able to encapsulate some of that emotion in a way. And I'm not quite sure how, because it has AI in it, right? Like there's an AI component to this, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, but I really appreciate the emphasis you're putting, Kara, on just the vulnerability with which people spoke. I mean, I think I agree with you that there was some pleading. There was also just some remarkable resilience. I mean, I heard again and again, like, you know, we're showing up for work every day still. And I have to say that that's what really moved me. My background is not in healthcare. My background is really at the intersection of media and conflict resolution. I began my career as a journalist working in the Middle East, then started an organization that still does small group facilitated dialogue between university students in Western and Muslim majority countries. And so I'm really passionate about the how we communicate, particularly about the hard stuff. And so in designing Slow Talk, we really came at it with an intention of creating a space that would enable people to be safe, to really have the space to share what was important to them. And so it meant the world to us that when we partnered with Cinda, first of all, that she, you know, just got it and has been, we couldn't ask for a better partner. And that she has a way of really helping people, you know, feel comfortable and express themselves. And I think it might be worth it, Kara, for us to maybe share a few clips just to give your listeners a bit of a sense for like, what does it feel like to experience a Slow Talk so that they can understand what that's like and even hear from some of the participants who've given consent for their voices to be shared.
Yes, absolutely. And just to very quickly, like maybe give people like a very quick visual. What I really loved was that the platform, it's almost set up like, I'm going to say it looked like a flower. Like there was like each nurse was like a little petal on a flower. This is how I remember it anyway. You might be like, Kara, it doesn't look like a flower at all. I don't know what you're talking about. But like, okay, so I felt like each nurse was like a little petal on a flower. So imagine there's like six or seven petals on a flower. And that each nurse was given there's like a timer and they're actually given a specific amount of time to answer a question, which is really good for people like me who just go on and on and on and on. So people who need a timer, I need a timer.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Most people that I work with would be like, Kara, you're on a timer. Like you've got 2 minutes, go. I'm pretty sure my manager has said that to me. So it gives each person, but it's not like a human moderator. It's like a Siri moderator. So you don't have to be mad at the moderator for cutting you off because it's just like automated. You just go to the next person. And then it calls out the next person, right? Do I remember correctly? It like actually says, okay, now we'll go to so-and-so, but it's still automated.
That's right. So yeah, it's each Slow Talk consists of a series of what we call prompts, which are pre-recorded media clips. You can think of them as almost mini podcasts that come from a real human. In this case, they were from Cinda. But then the conversation themselves are guided by what we call a conversational assistant. So that does manifest as a Siri-esque voice, if you will.
Yeah.
And that is there to really help ensure that, as you said, talk time is equitably allocated so that, you know, if someone is dominating the conversation, they can get a private message telling them to maybe give some space, but also someone we haven't heard from to encourage them to speak up too. So, but not to shame anyone, but to do it in a way that just helps ensure that all voices can be heard.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, I had to paint the picture because some people are very visual people.
Yeah. Well, good. So, in this particular case, we began the slow talk with a series of prompts. And so those prompts, this is the part that is going to be tricky to.
It's okay. So we can
edit.
Is
it okay if I kind of do this and then, okay, great.
Yep.
So, so each slow talk begins with a prompt from a host.
Welcome, everyone. I am so happy you decided to join us for this slow talk. As you all know, the profession of nursing is in a real crisis point. And today we are going to focus on the narrative about nursing.
And so each of those prompts serve to inform and frame the discussion that then happens on the platform.
What is it that you want others to know about nursing that's currently missing in the narrative about our profession?
And, you know, as I shared with you, there we do have consent from some of the participants to share their voices. And this is something that I want to be super clear about that we take really, really seriously, is that we never share any personally identifiable information. In this case, we have gotten consent from people to use their voices. But I want to give you just a feel for the kinds of conversations that can happen on the platform.
What I want people to know about me personally is that I very much care. I came into the nursing profession because I wanted things to be better. I wanted to change things. I wanted to help people. But I am one person. I am one person. I have limitations in what I can do and what is in my scope and my resources. And I, as one person, cannot meet every single need that my patients have, even though I wish I could. I think one thing I definitely would love to communicate is nurses may be the face of a failing healthcare system, but we are not the failed system. It is not our fault. Please stop blaming us and yelling at us and being mean to us. Like, we're trying. We're here because we care and we're trying.
That's the one that made me cry.
Yeah, me too. And there's many others like that, of people who, as you said, are, yes, pleading and still showing up, you know,
yes.
Because they know that they're part of a system that at times puts profits above patient care, and they're still doing their part to show up. And it's been really moving for me individually, for us as an organization, to have Cinda as our spiritual leader pulling us into this world. And we learned a lot from this conversation about the state of nursing today, how critical it is, how strained it is. And we feel, again, very privileged to be focused exclusively on this now.
I love this. Cinda, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
Well, it's really thrilling sometimes when you've spread your wings a little bit to connect with people that are not in your club, so outside of nursing, and to learn a new way of engaging, because I do think the narrative that we say about ourselves and that other people repeat and what the public says about us matters. Because what I know about nurses is the fuel for their work is their patients. And what we've seen during COVID is such a shift in terms of the level of violence, the way in which nurses are being treated in disrespectful ways. And there's healing that is needed within nurses themselves, but also in the relationships with the patients. Our social covenant with them has been fractured. And so how we help nurses to be able to see themselves as the incredible contributions that they make, the difference they make every day, and to give them a voice, because what happened so much during COVID is we kept hearing no one is listening, no one cares. And I want nurses to know we are listening. We are listening to you. And we do care. We do care that you are able to do what you're trained to do.
Yes. And that there are organizations that are working alongside and supporting initiatives. And sometimes I think it is hard to, when you are at the bedside, when you are on the front lines, sometimes it's hard to see the change or to see how things are getting better. It's really interesting because I've had an opportunity in the last few weeks to do a few different podcasts, all with people who have been in the industry for decades, 30 plus years, one even 50 years. And it is interesting to, and I did a podcast called Nursing Through the Ages. And when you look back, there's elements of things that were working that we got rid of. And then there were things that obviously were not working that we also have gotten rid of. I don't think any nurse is emptying a doctor's ashtray or giving up their seat to a doctor. So there's some progress. And I think we're slow, right? We're slow to progress. But it's important that we keep highlighting these voices and we keep giving people a place and a platform to share and to air what is bothering them about their system, because they are the ones that are the trailblazers. They're the ones that are moving things forward. Otherwise, we would be back emptying ashtrays, right? If you didn't have people.
And if that airing only was airing. And I think that's one of the most important parts for the work that Cinda and we do together, is to ensure that those voices are heard, that there is agency to those conversations. Because I think that right now it's important to recognize that there is an asymmetry in power in terms of how decisions get made. And there is, for everyone's sake, enormous wisdom being left on the table right now that we as a society need, let alone nurses deserve to be heard. We collectively need those voices to be heard. And so I think one thing that's important to convey is that when these conversations take place, we are clear with everyone that those conversations are recorded. They are then analyzed, to your question before, by an AI-based analysis engine that strips away any personally identifiable information. And then uses a combination of, without getting too deep into the how the sausage gets made, you know, natural language processing and some of the large language models to analyze the semantic content. And from that, we can surface what are the different perspectives that were voiced, how frequent or prevalent were those perspectives, so you can combine a bit of the kind of qualitative focus group research with some of the quantitative rigor to bring some statistical analysis to how frequent those voices or perspectives are expressed, and dig underneath, like, why? Why are people feeling that way? And, you know, I think having that be amplified in a way that's not like so much for social media or cable news today, just amplifying the loudest fringe voices. It's actually a distillation of, no, this is what, when people talk in a way that's calmer, more vulnerable, this is what they're saying. And it allows us to really put forward what we hope is as a constructive expression that can be acted upon. And I mean, I think I do need to say, as someone who we we do need to recognize that AI evokes a lot for all of us, right? I mean, it's just, there's a lot in that, and it's evolving very quickly. It's powerful. It's not perfect. It can make mistakes. And in our particular instance, you know, there was a relatively small sample size to this collaboration we did with Cinda, but we should share some of the findings because we do believe they're directionally accurate. But the other thing that I think is important to recognize is that AI can, it doesn't only have to be something that replaces human connection. It can be used to help connect us a bit more and focus on the people connecting, and also help ensure those human voices get heard safely. And so that's what we're trying to do with Slow Talk.
Mental health matters. Become a master's prepared psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner at Nightingale College. If you are an RN with a bachelor's degree in nursing, you can take the next step in a rewarding career move where you'll develop advanced knowledge and skills in assessment, intervention, and management within the construct of the psychiatric mental health patient-provider relationship and patient-centered care across the lifespan. This CCNE accredited program is now taking applications for the fall 2025 semester. For more information, please visit nightingale.edu or call 801-689-2160, because mental health matters.
I love that.
So, you know, what's so interesting too is that I feel like we are still in the long tail of COVID. And, you know, you can't heal what you have not yet named. And so there is a part of this. And I think that what Lucas just said about creating the scaffolding for safe and constructive conversations is really essential, because we need to say what's true. And this is an opportunity to say, okay, and what else is true? And the what else is true is the part that nurses in general love their profession. What they're struggling with right now is their jobs are not creating the kinds of environments that allow them to do what they know how to do in the way that they know would serve the people they are committed to. And that is that values gap that many of them experience. And in the midst of that is a lot of what I would call moral suffering, that they really experience that gap as a threat to their identity, their threat to who they are. And so if we can create a space where that process can occur in a way that is actually productive, we have the chance then to move to how do we create the future? How do we really take action, not just talk about it, but do it? And that's what I think the promise of this platform is for us, is to be able to use it in all of those many ways to recalibrate and reimagine nursing.
Do the nurses, after they've post-talk, do they get any kind of an immediate recap, or is it processed later, or how quickly is that information processed and available to the people who were part of the Slow Talk? I think it's so interesting because I guess it's almost like taking a subjective experience and making it more objective, where you can have a different view, almost as though someone is mirroring something back to you, which can be very therapeutic, very cathartic, very healing to have something mirrored back to you, even if it's not mirrored by an actual person, but it's mirrored by a platform or AI. How many times have we said thank you to our AI when it's helping us with something, or we've felt? I actually had AI when I was having it help me do a project, and I said initially I had told it that I was doing I was going to be doing a talk about something, and I wanted its help with something that I was doing. And at the end of it, it said, good luck with your talk. And I was like, oh, thank you. That's so nice. I thank you so much for that. And it made me feel good. Like I actually felt something from that. And so I'm very curious as to how therapeutic or healing it is just to hear back what you've communicated. Yeah.
Regardless of what technology or how you reflect back, it is, I think we've all experienced the power of just feeling heard, feeling understood, feeling seen. And so to answer your question of how quickly, that's a work in progress. We are a startup. We are trying to grow, learn, understand how we can best serve and constantly make improvements. So with this initial collaboration we did with CINDA as part of the grant in Maryland, it took us, you know, several months to do the slow talks and then analyze that data and pull together the final report and share that out. But now we're getting it down to about a week from when those conversations end, because we want to make sure still that we're checking things with some good old-fashioned human diligence to make sure it's working, but it's getting better and better. And I will say that we as an organization have really strived to be clear when it's an AI and when it's a human. And so we don't have a name for our conversational assistant. It's a conversational assistant, okay? It's not going to empathize with your feelings. We're not going to pretend it will. And we think it's important that if we want to create authentic conversations, that we need to be authentic about it. So it's an interesting getting in the weeds question and challenge for us as an organization to maintain that authenticity in everything we do. And so, yes, it's a powerful tool. It's a tool. Now, I do think it's worth highlighting what we learned from, as CINDA said, when these nurses are able to have a little more space, they often go to what's most important to them, even if it's not explicitly what you go in looking for. And that's one of the things that we found particularly powerful, is how much there was a cross-cutting theme that got at this gap CINDA was talking about, in terms of the moral injury that many nurses have experienced, which what we boiled down to was that in the workforce crisis today, too much of the industry is taking what we would consider to be a transactional approach to what in large part is a relational problem, that people are feeling a really deep strain in their relationship with their leaders. They're feeling a strain in their relationship with their patients, with their peers, and even, as to Senda's point, a strain in their relationship with their own sense of identity, with their own sense of self, because they chose this path to care for their patients and the system is making it harder and harder for them to do that. And so that was, and this is something that you wasn't just from anecdotes. We can share clips that kind of bring that to life in terms of each of those axes. But it's also statistically, 63% of participants referenced relational deficiencies in their current work, nearly twice as many who spoke of compensation, ratios, working hours, what we might consider to be transactional approaches. Now, again, I'm not saying that those things don't matter. Of course they matter. But it's just important that we also give attention to those relational human dimensions too, because those are really, really important and not getting enough attention today.
And it's interesting, and CINDA, maybe correct me if you disagree with this statement, but a a relational, so if you're having trouble relating to your patients or feeling like you have an opportunity to relate to your patients or for your patients to relate to you, that can dotted line over to ratios. If you have too many patients, it's absolutely impossible for you to actually relate to each and every one of them and for them to relate to you. I mean, I feel like, would that be a fair statement to make?
Well, I think what you're pointing to, and really what I think is underneath the ratio conversation, is workload, right? Workload that includes things that don't create relational space. And when you think about much of what nurses have been confronted with, it's very tactical. How many boxes can we check off? And at the end of the day, that is not where there's a lot of satisfaction in our work, right? It is in the relational interaction, but if there's no space to be able to have that. And then the other component of it is when you are exhausted and depleted, your capacity for empathy is also depleted. And so, you know, even if you wanted to, you may not have that, you know, empathic well to connect with to demonstrate that you care. You know, so it's this, you know, cycle of we have to reimagine what it means to be a nurse in an environment where more things are being added and nothing is being taken off their plate.
Yes.
So you know, how do we think about meeting the needs of the patients with the nursing skills and capacities means that we have to have the right balance in that calculation. And the relational part somehow does not get part, it's not part of the calculation. It's the check boxes are what count, right?
Which is so interesting because that's the care, that's the care part of healthcare. Like that's the, right? If you were just focused on, we still call it a healthcare system, right? Like we don't just call it a health system or a sick system. I mean, it's more of a sick system, I guess, than a health system, but we still add the care component in, yet we don't factor it in when thinking about workloads.
Exactly.
Well, and Kara, I think one of the areas where the point you were making is abundantly clear, certainly, you know, with patients, of course, that strain is there. But one of the things we've heard again and again is how, this is a bit specific, but for frontline nurse leaders, the nurse managers who increasingly in a hospital setting have just mind-bogglingly large numbers of direct reports. You know, the average number of direct reports for a frontline nurse manager is 46 people. In an emergency department, it's about 83. Some have well over 100. And so to have meaningful, substantive, attentive relationships with each of those people is just, it's not possible, really. And so we need to get creative about how are we going to allow those leaders to maintain the relationships that, by the way, are really critical for people delivering the best kind of patient care that we need. So I think that's an area where it directly is clear. And one of the areas where we're really excited to do the next sort of focus for our collaboration with Cinda and Slow Talk. And we're also joining forces now with AONL, the American Organization for Nursing Leadership, and AACN, the American Association for Critical Care Nurses, is to focus specifically on those relational strains, and particularly with frontline nurse managers, because they really are the linchpin of modern healthcare. They are the critical node in that system that if that fails, so much falls apart and there is too much strain on those nurse managers right now. And so we're really excited to be launching that opportunity, and frankly would love it if any of your listeners are actively serving as nurse managers now, to please consider signing up to experience the Slow Talk platform, to be heard. And we, along with CINDA and the Resilient Nurse Initiative and AACN and AONL, are committed to trying to amplify those voices so that this gets better understood.
Absolutely. And yeah. And we are happy to promote as well. Nurse.com is absolutely thrilled to be able to share this in every way that we can, because it's just so important that, you know, these nurses, these nurse managers, nurse leaders, bedside nurses, that everyone really feels like they were able to share their thoughts, their feelings, and be part of the solution.
That's great. Well, and Kara, we were hoping you were going to say that. And so we even made a custom URL just for your listeners to
did
sign
you?
Up. We did. So it's slowtalk.us. Yes. And I hope, you know, maybe we could put this in the show notes or something too,
yeah.
But it's slowtalk.us/nurse. With the dot spelled out.
Perfect.
And so we'd love it if again, if you're, you know, actively serving as a nurse manager, we'd love you to join it. It's free, takes less than an hour. It's, you know, no collection of private, personally identifiable information. That is our sacred vow to you. And we really want to help amplify your voices to ensure those get heard by decision makers.
Okay, read that URL one more time, just so everyone, because I feel like listeners are like, wait, where's my pen? Oh, wait, I'm sure I have a pen here somewhere. Oh, the doctor took it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's slowtalk.us/nurse. D-O-T at the end.
They should be able to remember that part. Nurse.
Yeah.
Dot, come on.
So great. And you know what's really also, I think, important for your listeners, that there is a full report from our Resilient Nurses Slow Talk. And we really highlighted the sort of main theme that came out of it. But two other themes that came out of it that I think people will also be interested in is the intergenerational tensions that are present. And not that it was a sort of defensive or angry tension necessarily, but one of how do we bridge this gap, you know, in terms of the generations, which is a huge opportunity. But the last theme, I have to say, I was so thrilled to see it come through, because it was about the pride and power of nursing. And I know when I am with a group of nurses and we can kind of get past all the things that are wrong, we are a powerful group. And I keep saying to myself, you know, what if we could speak with one vision, one voice, in solidarity? We would be unstoppable. I mean, think about it. Think about 4 million nurses in this country. So when I saw that as the report, I was like, yes, that is who we are. And I want Lucas to share that clip.
I just feel like there has to be some kind of revolution where nurses really step into their power, because I think the best kept secret is how powerful we are and how brave and smart. And we let people dictate our work to us.
Yeah. Thank you, CINDA, for encouraging that. And I think that that's something that is a North Star for it sounds like all of us in our work right now. And it's I don't think it's understood by people outside the profession as much as it should be, and how important it's going to be, not just in the next coming months, but in the coming years ahead. We have to give attention to this. We have to.
Yes, it's This is a public health crisis that rivals, if not, is paramount to what we experienced in a pandemic. I feel like it's its own pandemic, and we really have to give it the weight that it deserves. You know, we talk about climate change, we talk about things like that, and I think so often we're like, well, it hasn't affected me personally yet. And we just have this terrible habit, I think, of waiting and waiting and waiting until something so tragic happens that there's almost no coming back from it, or you hit rock bottom. And I'm hoping that we'll start to learn from that and say, like, let's be proactive. Let's get ahead of things and not be reactive. Why do we have to be reactive about things? And I feel like it's so promising to see someone with the experience that Cinda has and the resources, the reach, the network, along with just a powerful platform and technology. I think those two things together, that's where you see just a magnitude of change. And so I'm thrilled. I can't wait to see what this does. I know it's going to have a huge splash and a huge impact.
Well, and I'd also love to echo Cinda's encouragement for your listeners to take a look at the report that we produced with those nurses from 20 different health systems and nursing schools that really was the initial inspiration for this, that did have that core finding about how important these relational dimensions are. And that one can be found at slowtalk.us/R3. And that will take you to the report. It'll actually forward you onto the Johns Hopkins page where it's, but that's the easier URL to remember. But on the Johns Hopkins website, you can download the report and get a sense for what the next one will look like in terms of, you know, how deep you can go on the analysis. And there's a lot of richness in there that goes into a range of other topics that Cinda, you know, began to discuss too.
So this is amazing. I want to make sure that anyone who's listening who might be an administrator at a hospital who wants to know how they can get in touch with you, Lucas, and you, Cinda, and how they can learn more also about the Resilient Nurse Initiative. So just give a little bit of, you know, how people can get in touch with you.
Many doorways. the easiest way is just email. My email is crushto1@jhu.edu. And I just welcome questions, engagement. Tell us how this resonated for you and tell us what's missing. Because this is how we learn.
Absolutely. And we'll make sure that we have that also. Like, so for those of you who are like, oh my gosh, I can't take down an email right now. It's okay. We'll make sure all of this is available. We always have a landing page for every episode. So people can just visit our nurse.com/podcast and they'll be able to find this episode and all the related information. But Lucas, go ahead and let people know just how to find you as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, again, for being a dead horse, perhaps, but for nurse managers, we want you to participate and experience Slow Talk. So please go to that slowtalk.us/nurse to register for contacting us. If you are, senior leadership at a health system, we are at the early stages of working directly with some health systems, a very small number. We are not really looking for new accounts right now as much as really delivering and executing on the few leading systems that we're partnering with. But please get in touch. We're always eager to learn. And that's just go to our website, slowtalk.us, and click on the contact button and then reach out to us. And we'd love to both learn and find ways that we might be able to collaborate or direct your team to experience Slow Talk and see what they think.
Perfect. Well, Lucas, Cinda, I cannot thank you enough for sharing the initiative, the platform, Slow Talk, Resilient Nurses Initiative. All of it is just absolutely inspiring to me, and it's really an honor and a privilege to have you on the show.
Back at you, and thank you for hosting us, and we hope to be back here in a few months when we got some other voices to share.
That would be amazing. All right, let's have that be the goal.
Sounds great.
That was really fun.
Yeah,
thank
you.
Really
fun. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the NurseDot discussion group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. NurseDot is a Nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the NurseDot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.